Today on Real Radio.
You! He's afraid of you. And that's why that old hymn says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Why? Father, and the kingdom of hell shakes. The Bible says that when the devils, when Satan and the demons think about God, they tremble. Did you know that? The word in Greek is goose skin, turkey skin. You ever seen a naked turkey? See those bumps? That's what that Greek word means. They get all freaky skin. Terrified of God. Terrified of the Christian, by the way, who calls out to God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at the first part of chapter 4, where Messiah was tempted directly by Satan himself. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from this passage called Temptation, What Are We to Do? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Satan is not God's equal, and they're fighting back and forth. Did you know that? Did you know that God could yawn and kill Satan in a second? Did you know that? It's not Jesus versus the devil. If the devil has an equivalent, it would be either Michael or Gabriel, archangels, for that's what he is. Those three are mentioned in Scripture, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. So you see what's going on here. God the Father is using Satan to prove to the world the validity and the worthiness of Jesus Christ via the temptation. God will use the world, Satan, our flesh. He will use temptation against us, though God doesn't tempt us with evil. God will allow it to happen for us to become more and more like his son Jesus. Church, understand that. To get that is halfway through the victory. See, what do you mean? You know what? I don't any longer worry about, is this from Satan or is this from God? I'm so confused. You know what? Just forget about it. Here's what you do. Lord, I belong to you. You died on the cross for me. I know your spirit lives in me. The Bible makes it very clear, nothing can come to my life, God, unless you know about it. Everything's got to be Father-filtered. So this is either Satan attacking me, and you know about it, Lord, or this is a trial come from you, and it's been custom-made for me. So either way, God the Father knows what's going on in my life. Are you with me? You guys, if you understand that, you won't be spooked out and scared anymore about what's happening in your life. What's going on? I don't know. But you know what? Follow God anyway, because he's over it all. He's watching. This is important. Satan has a plan. He's our enemy. We should know it. How so? Verse 5 tells us that in this elevated threat, his plan is to overwhelm us. Will you jot that down? Satan plans to overwhelm me. Church, have you ever been overwhelmed? No? 5, 6 of us. We've all been overwhelmed. When we're overwhelmed, what are we tempted to do? Cry out, panic, go crazy. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. We often manifest, by the way, the fact that we're overwhelmed by saying, I've got to get away. Now, I understand that. We all need to take a Sabbath, but that's not exactly what we're talking about here. I got to get out of here. You call in sick. Hello, boss. I'm sick. I can't make it. You're tempted to do that because you're overwhelmed. You're not really sick. So now you got two lies going on in your life. It's terrible. Then you can't call your boss and say, Satan's been really kicking me around. Oh, you can't say that. They'll have you arrested, if you know what I mean. Send the white coats for you. They don't understand. But when you and I are overwhelmed, our temptation is to not do the God thing. It's to do the human thing. I need a vacation. First thing that we need is to sit still before the Lord. Guys, girls and guys, when was the last time we sat patiently, quietly before the Lord in that time of being overwhelmed? Oh, we got to do it. His plan is to overwhelm us. And he comes to Jesus and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. It's amazing power, isn't it? Satan would have shown Jesus all of the kingdoms of, imagine, the Egyptian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Roman Empire of which Jesus was standing in. Satan would have shown him all of the empires to come, the tremendous work of the nations and even the great military might of America. Satan would have shown Jesus all of that and he would have said, you know what? Look what I'm offering you. The temptation was real from Satan. He was able to offer up that temptation because, as we shall see, he truly had jurisdiction over that. It was a real temptation and Satan had the power. The interesting thing is what Satan is falling for is this grandizement that he has fallen for. Satan is thinking that Jesus is going to say yes to the offer. That's his plan. Why do you think Satan tempted him? It's a real temptation. Satan's hoping Jesus says yes to all that he has to offer. Why? Because Satan fell for that thinking in his own mind. The grandizement. We would use the word today, megalomaniac. You know, doctors now are concluding, as they study more and more about the man Saddam Hussein, they are now concluding that in the psychological realm, he was insane in the area of being a megalomaniac. You know what a megalomaniac is? He believes the world was created for him. He believes that he rules the world, that all are subject to him, and that every bit and every moment of his whims are to be satisfied. That's why people died. That's why things happened. Megalomaniac. There's a lot of megalomaniacs in the world. It's just really bad when they get control of a country or a bomb. Megalomaniac thinking, look at this. And so Satan, this is a very, very, what's the word? Tantalizing temptation that Satan offers. Why? Because he loves it himself. Look, you know. He's all like turned on about it. Look. Freaky weird, isn't it? Look at this. All the kingdoms of the world. I can give it to you. Ah! I mean, what a strange thing. But what's he really, really offering is very, very subtle but powerful. Showing him, Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world. Verse 5, we learn that Satan's desire is to imprison you and I. How? By offering such things. When he offers us things, do you think it's free? Ooh, have you seen Chronicles of Narnia yet, Christian? Go see it. Even non-Christians figure out, hey, this is about Jesus. It's pretty awesome. Well, when the witch comes, who's C.S. Lewis has her living as personification of Satan, what does she do to that little boy? She tempts him with Turkish delight. And all that poor kid does is go, He loves it. So all does he want more in the movie is, I want more Turkish delight. Satan does that. Hey, come on, take this. And there's not one thing that Satan will offer you and I that's satisfactory. Oh, it's wonderful for the moment. As the Bible says, sin is pleasurable for a season. That's true. But you know what? You know aftertaste. You know what that is? You know, you bite into something. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's great. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, it's terrible. That's what Satan offers. Oh, look, do this. I'm giving you this. Look, I'm offering you this. Ooh, it's so nice. Yeah, but remember, it has a price tag on it. And it's going to sting. But he loves that. And he falls for that in his own mind. He falls for that in his own mind. He seeks to imprison people. Satan desires to exaggerate the facts, taking the truth and twisting it to the point where it's palatable to anybody and everybody. Jesus is standing firm. Jesus quotes the Bible. Jesus is winning this war. So Satan elevates it to temptation number two, and he's exaggerating things. Yes, he speaks the truth in part, but what Satan offers Jesus is very, very temporary. But his plan is to overwhelm. Look at the third thing under verse 5 is that you and I must know our enemy's plan, and that is that Satan desires to disable you and I. Did you know that? To disable you and I in two ways, or I should say on two fronts. Church, watch me. If I'm fighting a front on this left-hand side of the sanctuary, imagine this is a war zone, and you are an enemy of certain powers. My attack against you and to defend myself against you is different than the attack that's going to be launched on this side of the sanctuary. It's a different enemy. And so divide right down the middle. Please don't take this personally, but you guys are all non-believers for my arguments. You guys on this side are all believers. Satan comes over here to you on this side, and his desire, listen, you're going to be shocked. It's Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible there tells us that Satan's desire is to keep you dead. Well, I find that highly offensive. I don't look dead, I don't smell dead, and you're calling me dead. I'm sorry, let me be accurate. You're spiritually dead. The Bible says you're spiritually dead. The Bible says that I was spiritually dead until God woke me up. You're spiritually dead. If I were to be Satan and I'm attacking you, I'm going to use an attack against you that is completely different than the attack I'm going to use on a believer. Why? Number one, I want to keep you spiritually dead. I do not want you to be thinking correct, listen, correct spiritual thoughts. Underline that. Correct spiritual thoughts. I want you thinking spiritual thoughts because I know that you are a daughter of Eve or a son of Adam, and you've got that thinking in your mind. There's a leftover effervescent of the kingdom in your heart, and you're wondering, and you ask questions like, is God real? Don't you? Is there a heaven or a hell after I die? Could evolution be false and God be true? And wonder what, all these thoughts, Satan will allow you to think spiritual thoughts, but he'll steer you away. Thus, he produces false prophets and false teachings. You got that? He knows you're going to think spiritual thoughts. He just needs to create a smokescreen to keep you dead. And he doesn't care how spiritual you get, as long as you don't get born again. Okay, well, I have a PhD and I have a doctorate in theology. So what? Are you going to heaven? So are you born again? On this side of the room, we've got the believer. Satan comes up to you and he says, man, lost them. They're sealed with the Holy Spirit under the day of Christ. They've been born again. I lost them. Well, anyway, to keep them from bringing anyone else with them, like their husband or wife or their kids, I'll sterilize them. I'll spiritually sterilize them. How do I do that? Satan will say. Condemnation. That's it. They're really prone to beating themselves up once they know the love of God because they feel so unworthy. So the moment they sin, and oh, they will sin, instead of them trusting in the fact that they can confess to God and be forgiven, I will immediately jump on their back and ride them to the wall on how bad of a Christian they are. And I will convince them that they're not even worthy to name the name of Jesus. And I'll get them, when I'm done with them, sitting in the corner as they curl up in the fetal position and suck their thumb, never sharing Jesus with anybody, never doing anything spiritual, never even being able to offer up a sound, a peep of worship to God. I lost them to heaven forever. However, I'll see to it that they take nobody with them. Did you hear that? These guys are gone. You, he's afraid of you. And that's why that old hymn says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Why? Father, and the kingdom of hell shakes. The Bible says that when the devils, when Satan and the demons think about God, they tremble. Did you know that? The word in Greek is goose skin, turkey skin. You ever seen a naked turkey? See those bumps? That's what that Greek word means. They get all freaky skin. Terrified of God. Terrified of the Christian, by the way, who calls out to God. So his plan is to sterilize you. How does Satan in his plan seek to disable you? Keep you dead. Don't find the right path. Keep you from sharing Christ with anybody else. So I want to leave you with this question. What are all of you doing as Christians to advance the gospel of God? Well, Pastor, I can't speak publicly. I didn't ask you that. What are you doing with the quarter in your pocket dedicated to God? What are you doing with your energy? What are you doing with your time? invest it in getting the gospel to the world. And there's a million different means to do that. It's amazing that people who listen to the radio program, they send in money to keep the radio program going. We don't even know who these people are. But they're being touched, so they send in money so we can get into other countries or to other cities. They're doing their part. When you put money in the offering here, you're not, you know, I got to give to God. Listen, if that's your attitude, come see me later. I'll give you your money back. That's the wrong heart and the wrong life. The people who say, you know what, here's $5. God, use it to your glory. There's a host of people that praise God, use this money to your glory. How will Jesus be blessed? This is very, very important. Listen, and we'll move on. Is the kingdom of God dependent upon me or upon you in the investment of the gospel? How dependent are other Christians, listen, how dependent are other Christians on my life to serve Christ in this church? That announces the level of your involvement, the level of your worship, the level of your passion for God. See, well, I'm just visiting. Well, then go home to the church that you go to and serve. Worship. Act. Do. And your life will never be the same. It'd be wonderful. And so, he seeks to disable us. Point number two is found in verse 6. Temptation, what are we to do? You must know your enemy's strengths. Yes, Satan's strong. But he's no match for God. Yes, it's true. I'm no match for Satan. I mean, I'm just a human. But you know what? I love when you read the Bible. God makes it very clear in the book of Corinthians concerning us who are Christians. He will not share us with evil, demonic activity. A Christian cannot be possessed by an evil spirit. A non-Christian can. God will not allow anything else to occupy his temple. And you are, the Bible says, the temple of the Lord. Think of that. It's wonderful. You are so valuable to the Lord. Yes, the enemy's strong. Know his strengths, and the more you know about his strengths, the weaker he becomes. Number one, what can Satan use against us? And of course, there's not enough time in the day to list them all, but one of the things that we realize here in our study is that when he announces, look, he says, all authority is mine, I can give it to whomever I choose. That's true. And the glory of them. That's true too. It's been delivered to me. True again. And I can give it whoever I wish. True. Satan speaks the truth here. He said, when did he get all the power? Adam and Eve gave it to him. Remember those of you who went to the book of Revelation with us together? Revelation chapter 5, what did we see Jesus do? Take the scroll. Remember that? That was the title deed to the earth. When Jesus went to the cross and when he rose again from the dead, he got back what Adam and Eve handed over to Satan in the Garden of Eden. That's why the Bible church, note this, don't be upset by it, note it, and thereby gain victory when the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, little g. He's the ruler of this age. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere in which you and I live in. He's got power. He's got great influence, and the only way out of this alive is by getting out of his kingdom and coming into the kingdom of God's own dear son. Where are you in this war? And so we see him. Yes, he's correct on this matter, but note this. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan's attack that he launches against us. Now, church, you're going to laugh at me for a minute. Let me explain this. When I pray with that verse in mind, Lord, I just ask you to just protect us as a church. I ask you whatever I'm praying for. When I pray, because I've got a brain of a five-year-old, when I pray, I see, when I pray like that aggressively or preemptively, I'm attacking. I see rockets go off in my head. I mean, I see a cruise missile. Lord, I pray that you would just stop the forces of darkness against the people at Calvary Chapel. That's how I pray. Lord, and God, see, Jack, you're nuts. Well, in Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says that we are to attack to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, of Satan. The word is belos in Greek. The word translated from the Greek into the English is the word missile. To quench the burning, blazing, fiery attack that Satan launches against us. What's it like? It's like a burning missile. Don't sit there and take it. Oh. Pray one back. Get on your knees, pray, fight in the Spirit. It's awesome. And you know what? I'm convinced when we sit there, Lord, oh, I think he just goes, yes. When we're crying out to him, Lord God. I wonder what that, wouldn't you love to see that when you pray? Have you ever seen a crowd of like little, antelope or something in Africa on TV and the mother goes, meh, and out of the 10,000 little fawns or whatever you call them, the one comes running up to the mom. Don't you think if God put that in an animal, that when you cry out, God, Lord, yes. I know this to be true. It's awesome. Know the enemy's strengths, yes. What can he use against us? Well, he'll attack us. Doubt, fear, all these things. But you know what? Not to worry. We can counter back when he launches these missiles. Secondly, what can Satan actually do to us? Again, I mentioned a moment ago when he says, all authority, all this glory, it's all mine. I can give it to whomever I want. That's true, but what can he actually do to us? Church, listen, remember, it's going to be father filtered what he does. Can I watch this? You say, Jack, how can that be father filtered? When I went online and looked at this dirty website, well, you knucklehead. Satan put the thought in your head. Satan tempted you. And you thought to yourself, well, you're falling for it. Did God know that was going to happen? Yes. Why didn't God stop it? Because God is building you up in Christ. He wants you to scream and cry out to the Word of God and the will of God. What are you doing with it? You're going toward the very thing that could hurt you instead of obeying the one who loves you. God doesn't make robots. He doesn't tempt anybody with evil or with sin. Satan's quite able to do that. What's revealed is the fact that we would yield or lean toward what Satan's offering. Just keep this in mind next time he comes knocking at our door, is that what Satan's offering is very temporary. Look what he says. He sounds very authoritative. I've got all authority. I'll give you everything I got. Here's the question of somebody who's thinking. How long will it last? I've got all authority. You guys, the moment from Jesus and Satan encountered this battle, he had about 3 years left. Because Satan was going to be defeated at the cross.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Temptation, What Are We to Do? It's a study taken from the first part of Luke chapter 4. Now again, this is a mini-series, part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series within a series on temptation is available in a convenient 4-CD set. In a moment, we'll tell you how to get in touch with us here at Real Radio and request it. Here's our offer. For your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Just ask for the Temptation CD series. Here's our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, and all of our contact information can be found there as well. Realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.